Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. We are so thankful that you have chosen to spend the next half hour with us as we go to God's Word, look to God's Word as our final authority. And in this day and time where definitions are shifting, and if you just don't like something, you can redefine it and things like that, it's nice to have something that will never, ever pass away. Not one jot, not one tittle is ever going to fade away. I'm thankful for the stability of God's Word and that our God is a God who never changes. There's never going to be a new and improved version of Him because He's perfect, always has been perfect, always will be perfect, and is perfect right now. So that gives you a little bit idea of where we are today. My name's Bob Arthurs, Pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And today I want to say thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281. And I encourage you to give them a call if you have an outdoors project that you are looking to have done, whether it involves planters or we've had some trimming that they've done and landscaping. Church and the house sprinklers systems and adjustments and pump replacements and all sorts of things that it would take me a long, long time to do, and it would be guesswork. They came out, they took care of it, and did a wonderful job. And my sprinkler system works wonderfully whenever I need it to. If I don't want it on, They gave me a timer at my house that I could understand. They gave us a timer at the church that we could understand. They've done just an amazing job. And by giving, I mean they came in and installed it and things like that. They made sure that it would be suitable for what we needed at the time. They did a great job for us. They did a great job for the church. They'll do a great job for you. So you can reach Dan and his team at 321-208-2281. I believe that gets you Dave, who's also part of Coastal Image Landscapes. I think he does the lawn maintenance division. But 321-208-2281, and tell him you heard about him on the Refresh radio program. That would be a great blessing. So today we're going to go to the book of Revelation, where we've been looking at the truth of the limited opposition, even though it's united against God, the limitations of that opposition against God, His will, His purpose, His plan, and what He thinks about you. So I grew up in a sports family. I told my wife, and I reminded her of this a couple of weeks ago, that you know, I'm glad that we didn't have ESPN when she and I first got married, because we just grew up watching sports all of the time. Now, she was the one who did a lot of sports in school. She played on the softball team, the volleyball team, and has the scars to prove it. I played baseball in high school, but it wasn't for the high school team. That was about the limitation of her sports, although she did like basketball, and she likes baseball now because of grandchildren playing and things like that. But watching sports on television wasn't much of a thing for her. Watching sports on television was something that we did for relaxation, and our teams liked to win, so we liked watching them. I told her, I said, it's a good thing we didn't have ESPN, because if they had broadcast, back then there was only one ESPN station, not the ESPN family of stations. I said, if they had a Tiddlywink championship, and some of you may not even be old enough to remember what Tiddlywinks were, I said, I'd probably watch that over most of the other stuff that's on television. And now I see that there's just all sorts of unique games out there that people are competing in. I watched somebody that got on, a national news because he broke the Guinness Book of World Records for throwing an axe a certain length of time. So you say, where in the world is he going with all this? Having grown up in that household, we still keep in contact with my dad and start talking about sports events, and he's of a different mindset than I am. And so I asked him recently, I said, did you hear or did you watch the golf tournament? And he said, no, I was DVRing it. And then all of a sudden I got a notification on my phone from one of my sports apps who won, and so I just went home and I deleted the whole thing because I already knew the outcome. And it's like, you didn't even want to see the highlights or anything. No, once I know the outcome, that's it. I don't really care to know what's going on. So I want to take you today to the Book of Revelation so you know the outcome, so you won't be distracted by some of the tactics of the enemy. Instead, you will know what the end result of the battle looks like, so you can make sure that you are on the winning side. So, Revelation chapter 19, verse number, I believe that's verse number 11. I've got a mark through it there. Verse number 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So, If hold your finger there, we're coming back to that. But if you go to the Book of Revelation, you will find that when John is discussing the things that are going on, he talks about that this is the testimony of Jesus. That this is the testimony of Jesus. I'm looking for that right now. Oh, there it is. I, John, verse number 9, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus and Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. It also talks that the things that John would see were the things which were, which are, and which are yet to come. So those are my key verses when I'm looking at the book of Revelation, that it helps me to have understanding. So in verse number 11 of chapter 19, it says, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Okay, let me start off today with this initial statement of truth. Apart from Jesus, truth does not exist. Apart from Jesus, truth does not exist. Jesus is the personification of truth. You say, well, I know some facts beyond that. Well, the only reason that there is not chaos is because of the presence of God. The only reason that there's not darkness is because of the Spirit of God. God created everything, and so everything is held together by him. The book of Colossians says that by him all things exist. So that's why I say, apart from him, there is no truth. There's not a secondary supplier, if you will, a place that you can go and negotiate a price and say, well, I can get it cheaper over here. I have a friend that owns a business, and when they need a product, they have suppliers that they go to, and because supplies are in short supply right now, if they find someone that has what they need, they say, I need it. I'm on my way to get it right now. I can pay for it now because I need that product in order for me to do the job that I need to do in order for me to get paid. The only supplier of love is God. The world is trying to redefine that. They've tried to redefine lust as love. They've tried to redefine immorality as something that is moral. That doesn't work. They try to redefine terms whenever it is to their advantage. Never give the enemy the privilege of providing the definitions. I'm going to say that again. Never give the enemy the privilege of defining what the definitions of a term are. So, I understand how loosely Satan can tempt with his verbiage. So I don't give. When you look at the temptation of Jesus, Satan would say, it is written, and Jesus would say, it's written here. This is how we're going to operate. God knows the word of God better than the devil does. You and I need to know the word of God better than the devil does, because he will try and twist it and contort it and distort it to manipulate you into misbehavior. And misbehavior has a price tag that is higher than you and I should be paying and are able to pay. So don't play his game. Redefine the terms the way that God defines the terms. And so it says here that Jesus is true. He comes riding on a white horse. Now, his entrance into Jerusalem was he would be riding on a donkey. Here he is described as riding a white horse. I point that out to you just so you know that his second coming is not going to be like his first coming. His first coming, he came to fulfill all of the prophecies that had been written about his coming. And so he came riding into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. And it was fulfilling scripture. And everybody looked at it and said, this is fulfillment of scripture. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so they recognized him. He had been around them all that time, but he had lived in obscurity as far as they were concerned until the day that they saw scripture fulfilled. This time, when Jesus comes, everybody is going to see him, and his appearance is not going to be like that little baby in a manger. It's not going to be like the Savior who is paying the price for the sins of the world. This time he's coming as king. This time he is coming to rule and to reign. And he's coming in truth. So listen to what it says here. He who said on him, so it's describing Jesus, all of these terms are in capital letters. That means that they are referring to him. And he, Jesus, who sat on him, the white horse, was called Faithful, capital F, and True. Okay. I had some groceries at one point in time. And I remember that somehow the label got torn off of what the can was. And it was in a group of other things that it could have been anything. Nobody wanted to know what was, we didn't want to venture out to what that was when we were cooking dinner because we didn't know what was in it. It could have been dog food. And it's like, nope, don't want to open that. The only way to find out what's on the inside whenever there's no label on the outside is you've got to open it and inspect the contents. But when I go to the grocery store now, I'm able to identify what's on the inside of the can because of the accuracy in the labeling on the outside. Please understand this about God. He is faithful. He's faithful. It is part of his name. It is also his character. He is the source of faithfulness. Can I just make a disclosure here on the radio program? It really boggles my mind whenever there are people in the world who have rejected God and they're shocked by people around them who demonstrate unfaithfulness. It blows my mind. It blows my mind when there are people who are unfaithful with people, and then those same people that they were unfaithful with are surprised when they're unfaithful with someone else. And it's like, you didn't see that coming. Why didn't you see that coming? Unless there has been a change in their spirit, they were unfaithful when you met them. They were unfaithful now. They will continue to be unfaithful until Jesus changes their heart and changes their life. Now, God is faithful, and it's very important to us that we live a life of faithfulness. Because the Bible says, to the faithful, he shows himself faithful. So you want to know why the world has a problem perceiving the reality of God? It's because of their own unfaithfulness. They have unfaithfulness in their life, and therefore it's impossible for them to behold the faithfulness of God. Now, when I consider the faithfulness of God, I realize that that means he's faithful to the good parts of his word, and he's also faithful to the challenging parts of his word. And that's something that sometimes comes as a surprise to people. If you believe that there's a heaven, then you need to understand that Jesus also said that there was a hell. It's a hell that was not prepared for man. It was a hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels who rebelled against God. It's not a place where humanity is going to thrive. It is a place of suffering and torment and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It is a place void of the presence of God, which is what you and I were created in his image and to spend eternity with him. And an eternity without him isn't a matter of God suddenly surprising humanity and saying, oh, did I forget to mention this? That's the way that the devil operates. God is faithful. He says, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for you to repent. I'm looking for you to ask me to forgive you, for Jesus to be your Lord so he can empower you to live the life I intended for you to live all along. You do that, and you're going to spend eternity with me in heaven, and you're going to hear me say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if you do not believe, and by belief I mean believing not just philosophically, but believe with your lifestyle, believe with the core of your being. John chapter 3 says that that person who does not believe stands condemned already. God is faithful to forgive. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's faithful. He's also faithful to carry out the decrees that apply to those who do not believe and have rejected his offer of salvation. I believe it is the book of Ezekiel where there is a description. There are three types of people when it comes to faithfulness. There are the faithful, there are the faithless, and there are the unfaithful. The faithful, the faithless, and the unfaithful. So there are people who do not know about Jesus, have not heard about Jesus, and they have not put their faith in Jesus, and they would fit into the definition of people who are faithless. Okay, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, we've talked about the faithful, those who know God and are faithful to live according to his mandates and his decrees. That is the highest of those three. That's what we want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But in this story, and like I say, I believe it's in Ezekiel, it describes that the worst condition of the three, as far as God is concerned, the one that reaps the greatest level of judgment is not the faithless, but it's the unfaithful. People who knew and turned and walked and abandoned God in the process. And they've become unfaithful. The Bible talks about people who forfeited the grace that could have been theirs with their idolatry and their unfaithfulness. I don't know of a person that would stand at the altar to get married and say, I fully expect that the person that I'm marrying is not going to be faithful to me. I don't know how do you get to that place. There's a celebrity wedding that took place recently, and you know, it was a pretty high profile couple, and it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Now, they don't have to give an account to me. I'm just an observer from the outside, but from the little bit that I know about having a successful marriage outside of they've got a lot more financial security than what I've got, I don't see that there's a lot of faithfulness that is going to be demonstrated in either side of that relationship. Unless Jesus takes a greater role in their life than what he has thus far. When you understand the book of Revelation, understand that Jesus is coming as the personification of faithfulness. He's coming with a triumphal entry, not on a donkey, on a white horse, and he says, "My name is faithful." The Bible says that God has exalted his word and his name above all else. I am so thankful for the word of God. I pray that you feast on the word of God and that you see that God is faithful, not just to begin a good work, but to complete a good work. He just doesn't promise you that he's going to redeem you and to save you and to come and take you to where he's going to do that. He's going to do that. The end of the book, the end of the Bible, declares that God has been and is still and will always be a faithful God. The angels shout out that God is faithful in all of his ways, in all of his judgments. And so you and I, we need to look at that. And I pray that you will be a little bit like my dad and say, "Look, I know what the end of this is. So whenever the devil tempts me to question God's timing, question God's promise, question God because of my circumstances, that I will say, you know what, devil? I don't have to listen to you because I know what the end of the story looks like. And it is Jesus Christ, faithful as the Alpha, faithful as the Omega, faithful as my Savior, faithful as my Lord, faithful as my provider, faithful as my healer, faithful as the one who orders my steps and directs my path, faithful in the morning, faithful at the noontime, and faithful in the evening. He was faithful when I'm young. He was faithful when I was not so young. He's faithful when I'm old. He always has been and always will be faithful. I'm not going to question God's faithfulness." That's what he said. That's what he'll do. And I'm going to put my faith in him. The devil tries to pretend like he's the faithful one. And he's not. Jesus is. Put your faith and trust in him today and watch God be faithful on your behalf. God bless you. You have a glorious Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Your blood speaks in better words. all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth.